You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Cross, it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction to FC United's matches from the Easter weekend.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as Saturday's match with Brackley Town and Monday's game with Darlington, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their crucial league match with Charltonians from Sunday afternoon. But before all of that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start the news in winning ways as FC United's women's team managed to make it 3 wins from 3 with a tough 4-2 win away to Charltonians on Wednesday evening. We'll hear later in the show if the women's team could follow it up with another win on Sunday. In Development Fund news, and last week the club raised over £3,700 to take the overall total of the DF to nearly £95,000. A big thank you, one and all. And just a reminder that supporters can now purchase their season tickets for next season. The pioneering Pay What You Can Afford season tickets are back, while the club has also launched its new 3-year season ticket. To find out more, Ben caught up with FC United board member George Baker on Saturday afternoon.
So welcome, George Baker, board member, to This Club Is My Club. George, obviously at the moment we just reported that the DF is approaching £100,000 at time of recording. It might have broken it by the time this club goes out next week. The club has also launched these season tickets. Obviously Pay What You Can Afford back, but also the 3-year season tickets.
Yeah.
First things first, it's good to see the Pay What You Can Afford season ticket back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were very clear at the start of everything. I mean, when I stood for the board, like, it was one of the questions that came up at the EGM about the future of the Pay What You Can Afford, and we were adamant that we wanted to keep it. I mean, we knew that the financial situation at the club wasn't great, but it's one of the things that makes FC, you know. So to take that away would be it never crossed anybody's radar. We wanted to make sure that we kept the Pay What We Can Afford, and we've managed to do that for 2 seasons now since the new board were elected. So we're happy with that.
How important is it for the club finances that if you are going to do the Pay What You Can Afford season tickets, that you get it done as quickly as possible? For
absolutely,
next season?
It's absolutely imperative right now. I mean, we've decided to release season tickets a lot earlier for renewal this year because, you know, the truth is we are in trouble, and we do need that cash injection in order to fund what we need to fund at FC United, finish the ground build and continue our community work and everything else, and pay off the overdraft as well that we've had to take out that the membership know about, that kind of thing. So there's no point waiting until May or June or whenever. We might as well just get it released. Get them on sale now, and the 3-year season tickets are vital right now as well. We've released 200 of those, and we encourage any supporter or even sympathiser of FC United who's in a financial position to buy a 3-year season ticket for £1,000. Then we'd encourage you to do that as soon as you can.
So this 3-year season ticket is a new initiative, and it's basically the club's obviously had a difficult. It's been a turbulent year with regards to the club finances, mm-hmm. and we mentioned there that the 1-year season tickets being important, mm-hmm. but the 3-year season tickets, £1,000 for that, you get a few perks as well. We should add.
I mean, it's not just a case of giving us £1,000 and then you've got entry to the games for 3 years. I mean, obviously it's a bit, we decided we'd want to give you some extra perks on top of that, because with obviously with pay what you can afford, the minimum price is £100. We encourage a donation of £75 on top of that, and to ask for £1,000 for three seasons, it doesn't really balance out, does it? So we've got to offer some attractions to it as well, and so that includes a free electronic program for every game, free alcoholic or soft drink for every game that you attend, a free pound for the ground ticket for every game, and also a once a season prize draw with prizes worth at least £500 at the end of each season.
So with regards to these 3-year season tickets, why are they important?
Well, because we've put 200 on up for sale, and that would therefore give us £200,000 of working capital, which would help us to finish off the infrastructure off the ground. It'd help us to continue everything we're doing. We could increase the playing budget. We could get back into the black, you know, financially. £200,000 over a few months would do absolute wonders for this club. And it's not like it's not like these season tickets are more important than the regular ones. You know, you're not going to get any, whilst there's the perks that come with it, you're not going to get any special treatment with regard to any extra say in the club or any extra priority for all ticket games away from home or at home or for cup games or anything like that. That is just there. For those who want to see the club succeed and who want to see the club continue, that we've got that option there, and £1,000 for three seasons. If 200 people snap those up as soon as they can, then that would go a long, long way to solving the problems that we are so sick of hearing about.
And the season tickets are available from the FC United club shop,
that's
of course,
right,
as well as from the actual physical shop and the club office too.
And the membership stall for this game and the last game of the season.
So there's that. There's the 1-year season tickets. There's also the gala dinner, the supporter dinner.
Yep.
Those two seem to me to have been more successful than they have been in recent past.
Yeah. I mean, we've sold nearly 30 tables for the gala dinner at the Midland Hotel on the 19th of May.
Brilliant.
Coupled with everybody else who's on the bill for that. I mean, they're hoping to sell up to 50 tables for the gala dinner, so it's by no means sold out. So if anybody's interested in going to that, and if you can't, it's quite pricey, the gala dinner. So
this is the same as the 1-year, 3-year season ticket.
We've got two options with regard to supporters' dinners, because the week before the gala dinner here at Broadus Park is the supporters' dinner with Norman Whiteside on the 12th of May, and tickets for that are much more reasonably priced.
£25,
I believe
it?
So. Yeah, yes. And. So if you can't afford the gala dinner, go to the sports dinner the week before. That's what I'll be doing anyway.
So we're coming towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. There's a chance of silverware at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
The football hasn't been great. It's been a bit hot and cold all the way through the season. Are you expecting next season, if we do well with the season ticket sales, we can focus, because obviously our attention's been taken off with off the field stuff. Mm-hmm. On the pitch, I maintain, and I think it's the radio's position for a long time, the football is important.
Yeah, it is.
Are you expecting more attention to be put on the football inside?
Absolutely. I mean, I know for a fact that Damien, our new CEO, and Carl and Margie, they do have, from what I can see, they have a very good working relationship right now. There's certain things that Damien expects for the club to improve on next season, and they're very much in talks as to how that's happening. The academy is going very strong as well, and there'll be plans to bring more academy players into the first team next season, I'm sure. From what I was told in the last few days, we've not even had a single dropout.
Brilliant.
This year from the academy.
That's the first, it's
almost unheard of, that kind of thing. So, you know, we're hoping to get around 36 players next season in that area, and therefore we're expecting exciting things for the football next season.
Well, George, thank you for joining us, and keep up the good work.
All right, thanks very much.
Ben there speaking with FC United board member George Baker before Saturday's match with Brackley Town. And as mentioned in that interview, you can purchase both 1-year and 3-year season tickets, as well as tickets for both fundraising dinners, either by contacting the club office in the week or by visiting the online club shop at www.fcumshop.co.uk. To Saturday's football now, and following last week's sluggish performance from the Reds at Bradford Park Avenue, hopes were high for a much better display against playoff-chasing Brackley Town at Broadhurst Park. To hear now if that was the case, it's over to Marv Willers now for a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. Broadhurst Park was treated to 3 goals on Easter Saturday. Sadly, however, 2 of those goals were for the visitors. Gareth Dean and James Armson's goals for Brackley proved enough to take all 3 points. FC registering a goal in the second half through a penalty from Nathan Lowe. Here's the FC Live team.
Well, FC United riding their luck a little bit here this afternoon. 0-0, though, as FC United's number 11 does well there. Toby Adeyemi, but gives the ball away. Throws himself in, doesn't win the ball, and Unlove now plays it to...
go out the other way.
To Armisen. Armisen still on the ball. Plays it out to Diggin. Diggin, first time ball towards the back post. And, well, the keeper thinks about it and then does well there. He takes his hand away from it because he knows it's going out. But the referee said it's actually touched him.
Yeah.
And he's given the corner. It looks, for all intents and purposes, for me, that Schofield realised the ball was going out, so he actually took his hand away from it, never touched it.
I thought he actually touched it, and if you look at the reaction of the crowd behind the goal,
nobody's demonstrating. Like that, yeah. It looked like he wasn't sure what was behind. He was trying to collect it, but he knew it was going over his head, trying to just flick something on it.
Well, the two experts either side of me getting it wrong as far as I'm concerned, but it is a corner, so they're correct. I'm wrong, my mistake, you're wrong. Corner ball's going to come in again. It's right footed, decent ball. It's a lovely ball in. Out goes FC keeping. Palms it away. Still on the penalty here though. Diggins on it. That's a lovely ball towards the back post. 3 players there. It's an opportunity. Back post goal. It's the skipper thing at the back post there. Gareth Dean. Well, it's been coming and been coming and been coming, in all fairness. And a lovely ball by Diggins there. He just lofted the ball towards the back post, and there was the skipper, the big number 6, heads it across goal. 1-0 to the visitors.
Yeah, fantastic header, a great ball in. Like you say, it has been coming. They've been piling the pressure on. They've not really had any clean cut opportunities, but it came from, you know, just the movement of Brackley in the box, the number of players that they get in there to attack the ball. The keeper didn't really have much of a chance with that. He rose well and he's found his spot. The FC players, you know, they're looking around at each other. They shouldn't be surprised by this.
FC United now come away with a nice 2 or 3 passes there. That was Kieran Glynn now on the ball. Glynn plays a nice ball out left-hand side to Tony Adeyemi. Adeyemi now goes past one. That's just really well. Penalty for FC United, Manchester.
Great play. Fantastic. And that's come from, you know, Kieran Glynn driving forward, supporting players. Wolfie out on this right. Thompson up the middle. Adeyemi there. Fantastic footwork. As soon as he's gone in the box, he's drawn the defender to make that challenge. He's skipped past him. Clear penalty.
Well, first time that FC have actually outnumbered Brackley on an offensive run.
And pace as well. Gone forward with pace, attack that space.
We have the text had just come in at this moment saying, I predict an FC equaliser in 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's been on the card. You know, we have been putting the pressure on.
Well, Lowe's the man to stand over it. It'll be his first penalty taken for FC United and Manchester Lowe. Against Laurie Walker. Low steps up, what can he do? Right footed, pings it in. One apiece, and FC United right back in this game.
That's it, well done.
Well, Greaves about to come on as well in a few minutes as the ball flicks onto this near touchline. Again, it's Walker on the ball. 1-2 with Unlove. Unlove plays it out left hand side to Gudger. Gudger now against Tong. Chip towards the back post. It's a free header. It's a goal. It is a goal. It was a well-worked goal, but it was absolutely disastrous defending from FC United. Manchester, Jerome Wright static, Matty Woolwood and looking at one player, then the other player behind him, and there was no one from FC in any way, shape or form looking to clear that ball. They all stood like statues, and Brackley, as we're saying, I just thought they'd just gone off the boil, and FC United were getting back into the game, undo themselves at the back yet again. Poor defending, and it could have been one or two different players heading that ball.
Yep.
And a simple tapping, and Brackley take the lead 2-1.
Well, it went over Unlove said to get to Armson. Unlove could have easily headed it himself, to be honest. I feel that he got the shout.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United first team manager Carl Margeson.
So thanks for joining us after that, Carl. First half was a bit better in the second half, but still disappointing.
Yeah,
after
the first half, I think, no matter it, then I'll tell you, I must have said it hundreds and hundreds of times about this end of season feel. I hate it, absolutely hate it with a passion. I'd rather be fighting relegation or trying to get promoted. rather than just sitting in where we are, because it's, you know, it's a horrible, it's a little thing, and as much as, you know, we try to advise them, it's down to the players to take it out there. What you saw was a team who's in with an outside chance of a playoff, who in the first half outworked us, outfought us, and deservedly were 1-0 up. What we got in the second half was a more, I mean, you know, there's conditions on that. It was quite a strong wind out there, but second half I thought we were a little bit more proactive. But there's still loads and loads of it to improve on. You know, it's there's lots to improve on.
Obviously, you're right in what you're saying. We haven't got much to play for, but there is a cup final coming up.
Exactly.
And is the form a concern, because it is a bit slow?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That lack of edge that we seem to, you know, we know it's in there because we've seen it loads of times this season. So I've just posed a question: what kind of mindset have they got, them as individuals? Because the mindset of the coaching staff and myself and the football club will never change. It's all based around hard work. First and foremost, you go out and you work hard, because you've got to earn the right. And definitely in the first half, we're just expecting things to happen.
So, got Darlington on Monday. What are you expecting from them?
What a reaction from some of them. You know, there's going to be quite a lot of changes because, you know, the two games within the couple of days. And there's lads who must be sat there in the stands who are looking at me. And they deserve an opportunity. So, I'll be giving them that opportunity, like I say. They've all... they're all going to get an opportunity to stake a claim, and I'll be basing from now till the end of the season on you know, my selection for the cup final.
Well, Carl, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you Monday.
Cheers, man.
Carl Margeson there, following FC United's 2-1 defeat to the hands of Brackley Town on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from the National League North from Saturday, it's over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report.
Thanks, Cockers, and welcome everybody to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. And that defeat for FC United leaves FC in 14th position, 1 point behind Curzon and 2 ahead of Boston United. Higher up the table, and Monday's opponent for FC, Darlington, they beat Alfreton Town 3-0 to give their fans something to cheer this afternoon. Darlington can't compete in the playoffs after their ground was judged not to have enough seats for promotion in the National League, a decision the club are currently appealing. Harrogate Town went down 2-1 to Nuneaton, who are now 6 unbeaten. While Stalybridge Celtic's hopes of survival took a big knock as they went down 2-1 at Gloucester City. And finally, Bradford Park Avenue and Tamworth seemed to be in end-of-season mode as they drew 0-0, with Park Avenue drawing 0-0 for the second time this week. What joy. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. See you next time.
Very shortly we'll be hearing if the Reds could bounce back away at Darlington on Monday afternoon, but it's the women's team that we turn to now, as following 3 consecutive wins for FC featuring 20 goals scored, it was Chiltonians who came visiting North Manchester on Easter Sunday to try and stop the Reds in their tracks. To find out how FC United got on, it's over to Ben and Paul on Women's Team Live now to find out.
Hello and welcome everyone to Women's Team Live. You join us here at, well, Broadhurst Park, but not like it was last Sunday. It is wet, dear listener, and I mean like proper drizzly, miserable. It's not nice. It's not nice at all. But here to brighten up your afternoon on a Sunday for Women's Team Live, it's myself, Ben, and joining me is Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So this afternoon, we're bringing you a crucial league match. It's the third last game of the season. It's FC United against Cheltonians in the repeat fixture from Wednesday evening at the Recreation Ground, which FC United won, but not by a comfortable margin, it might suggest on paper.
No, FC took a good advantage in the first half. Went into the second half, I think we were 2-0 up at half time. Got a third, it ran about the 50-minute mark, and then Cheltonians got themselves back into it, scored two very quick goals. It meant we had to make two quick changes in terms of personnel to stem the tide. And then, of course, in added time, Chloe Wilde scored a spectacular long-range goal to make it 4-2 and kill the game off. But, yeah, old games with Cheltonians, usually difficult.
Now, Cheltonians have been long adversaries for FC United. We came up together, in a way, from the Greater Manchester League days. But Cheltonians, this season, it's the last time they're going to be called Cheltonians, because next season they're going to be fully integrated into the West Isbian Charlton Club, who, as we know from the men's team match in the Men's Premier Cup, FCM Radio, big fans of West Isbian Charlton. We love it. It's superb. So Cheltonians, tough opposition this afternoon. FC United might be a bit more nervous than usual. We are coming up to that crunch time of the season. After this, there's only two more games left. On next Sunday, we've got Curzon Ashton here, and then we've got that tough away game on the 30th away at Warrington Wolverines. Speaking of which, Warrington Wolverines are in action this afternoon. They're travelling to Bootle to take on league leaders Merseyrail Bootle, knowing that, well, for Merseyrail, only a win will do. And FC United about to kick off here at Broadhurst Park, knowing that only a win will do. It's crunch time in the North West Regional Women's League Division 1 South. Here's Jade Parker now getting into the box. She goes, she shoots. Oh, it's into the bottom corner. And FC United take the lead in the first 2 minutes of this game. Jade Parker, it was a quick throw-in. Jade Parker comes marauding into the penalty box on the right-hand side. No one goes near it. And then before she knows it, she's in the six-yard box and she slots into the bottom corner with ease.
Third minute. Yeah, I think she fooled the keeper a bit there, I think, with the low shot through the legs virtually in off the far post from an angle. Yeah, good finish from Jade. Good opportunism. And FC get an early lead.
Well, that's superb stuff. And roughly the same time, we got a lead last week against Stockport County as well. And, well, we're on the attack again. Here's Alicia Marsh now. Here's Marsh now on the left-hand side, crossing that ball in towards Battle. Battle's going to get to that ball. She shoots, and it's 2-0. Well, my goodness. Are we looking at another Stockport County match here, Paul? And Jess Battle gets the ball, and she's running back to the centre spot.
This is more ruthlessness that we saw last Sunday.
And here is Adore Yao down the line. It's a lovely ball to Jade Parker, who controls it on the halfway line and turns. And he's now heading down the left-hand side. Beats the player there. Still going into the penalty box. Jade Parker. Shoots. Goal. And that is, well, cool and assured. And much needed. FC United under the cosh there for the last couple of minutes or so. But Adore Yao sprang clear. Good advantage played by the referee. Gets the ball to Jade Parker, who from the halfway line went on a solo run into the penalty box.
She just made it look like a training ground exercise, didn't she?
Ball played forward there from that throw-in for Cheltonians. Ball breaks and it's cleared by Edmondson. But it's charged down and here's Jade Parker now on the left-hand side. Jade Parker coming into the penalty box. Checks the run, puts on her right. Crosses that ball into Battle. Good control from Battle. She opens her body up. Oh. Top corner job. 4-0. Blimey, Charlie. That was a superb bit of play from Jade Parker and Jess Battle combining there.
Well, Jade Parker again breaks into the box, rides challenges, and then looks up and picks out Jess Battle at the far post. And Jess Battle was going through a bit of a confidence crisis recently, but there was no lack of confidence the way she stuck that into
that
the top
first
corner.
The first touch, though, to open a body up and get the ball out. This,
and well, bang.
It was Teddy sharing a mask.
Yeah, I mean, that was quality, wasn't it?
It really was. Cheltonians attacking the light-bound road this afternoon in the first half. That's a lovely ball through there by Edmondson, but it wasn't read by Shaw and cleared by Dory Yao. Wild leaves it, but Battle wins the ball back. Played forward. Here's Jade Parker now. Jade Parker, that's a lovely pass to Battle. And here she comes into the box. She goes, slots it home. 5-0 and out of nothing, really. Such clever play
between Jess Battle there and Jade Parker. Jade Parker knew where Battle was going to be running. It's over to this right-hand side now, and Wild plays the ball over the top towards Jade Parker, but Greenall gets the second ball. Good bit of skill there from Greenall. Greenall now tries to play the ball forward, gets it to Battle. Battle lays it off to Parker, who's on the right-hand side of the penalty box. She's going to score here, surely. Toe pokes it home into the near post. Cool as you like. And that is Jade Parker's hat-trick on 48 minutes, the second hat-trick of the game. Jade Parker, Jess Battle, the whole FC United team in this first 48 minutes have had an utter ball, haven't they? And a ball over the top there for Shaw to control for Charltonians over on that far side. But God, defending there from Fran Davies. Gets it clear, but not just gets it clear, gets it to Marsh.
And
Marsh, good first touch, good turn. And here's Marsh now crossing the halfway line. Plays the ball to this right-hand side for Jade Parker. Jade Parker opens the body up, crosses that ball in. It's going to get to Battle. Battle in the penalty box, shoots. 7-0. Wow. Jess Battle with her fourth goal of the afternoon. It was, well, it started with a tackle from Fran Davies deep inside FC United's half, gets it to Marsh. Lovely turn from Marsh. Gets it to Jade Parker. Jade Parker crosses the ball. It was fortunate it came off a Charltonian's head, but Jess Battle did the rest. And, well, it's 7-0, Paul.
Well, Jess Battle has certainly got her shooting boots back on. She's become that lethal goal machine that she was when she joined us.
And good control there from Jess Battle to bring that ball down. Plays the ball forward to Jade Parker. Jade Parker now, can she get into the penalty box? She can, and lobs the goalkeeper. Is the goalie going to get to it? Oh, she can, it's in. And that is Jade Parker's fourth goal and FC United's eighth goal. Goalkeeper, well, she might have been able to do a bit better there, but Jade Parker's lob was just lovely, wasn't it?
It was impudent, I would say. That was the word I was looking for.
What, from the goalkeeper?
No, the lob.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't a strong lob, it was just like a measured lob. And the goalkeeper did manage to claw it, but it was already over the line.
So that is now 8-0 to FC United against Charltonians. Four goals from Jess Battle, four goals from Jade Parker.
They're going head-to-head today.
No added time played there, and no real need to be honest. FC United, cutthroat, dominated proceedings here against Charltonians, 8-0. It was a hard game on Wednesday night against the same team at the Recreation Ground. But here, at Drizzly Broadhurst Park on a Sunday afternoon, well, it's not been in any doubt, really, from 3 minutes in, has it?
No, the advantage was established very early. I suppose the only slight disappointment from the scoring point of view is that all the goals came in the first hour and we were unable to add in the last half hour. But again, another dominant performance from the women's team. They are difficult opponents today and made them look easy. That's the best thing I can say about this.
Absolutely. I mean, Charltonians have always been a very difficult side to beat for FC United. In fact, probably in head-to-heads, they're one of the most stronger oppositions.
They've had victories against us in the past. You know, they've been tough. But we've cantered through this game, and it's the application and the effort that's made it easy.
Four goals for Jess Battle, four goals for Jade Parker. Cracking displays from the likes of Fran Davies, Adore Yao, Olivia Greenall, Jess McCarrick, Alicia Marsh on the left-hand side. Chloe Wilde had a storming game, but our player has gone to Jade Parker, who really is got such a good footballing brain.
Yeah, she just makes it look so simple, doesn't she? And it's not, to be honest, but she makes it look that way. And she just seems to be ahead of the rest of the players at times in terms of appreciation of what's there, what's going to happen, what's possible.
Well, let's hear the post-match thoughts now of Luke Podmore. He caught up with Neil Boo after this match.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore. Much more comfortable win than the Wednesday game. We were sure-footed right from the start, and we continued that all the way through, I thought.
Yeah, you know, outstanding performance from the girls. You know, we knew what we needed to tweak from Wednesday's game, and obviously we knew that the pitch had a big part to play in that, and, you know, the scenario of us all trying to get somewhere at half six. And, you know, I think today we've got a lot more settled, a lot more preparation going into the game, and, you know, obviously the scoreline showed, so really happy.
Yeah, change of personnel as well. We had Jade up front right from the start, and she was absolutely electric. Four goals in the game, and she a right beaming smile on her face all the way through.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we need to, you know, we thought we'd change it up a little bit. You know, we've got big games coming up, so we need to use everybody in the squad. Jade come back in there, you know, scored after I think it was 3-4 minutes from a great tight angle, and yeah, she's got quality answers. So, you know, we're looking well ahead of the games we've got coming up.
Yeah, so and four for Jess Battle as well. Let's not mention, let's not forget her efforts there with some tremendous goals as well. But I thought standout one for me was Adora. She was absolutely brilliant compared to she felt a bit, she looked like she was a bit down in the dumps after Wednesday's performance, which I thought was okay. But obviously, I think she was upset with giving away the penalty. But she was imperious today.
Absolutely, yeah. We said on the sidelines, you know, for me, Adora was the player of the match today. You know, to respond from the Wednesday before, like. I said to her on the phone, you know, I spoke to her after the game, I said, you know, you certainly didn't have a bad game at all. It was a tough game. You know, it was a tough circumstances. Everyone had a tough game. But she came in today at a different position, you know, and just, you know, was so calm and so composed. And the way we play, obviously, we like to play out from the back. And you know, she set up a lot of the attacks going forward and allowed us to create 8 goals. So
yeah, she was part of the three-man defence, which meant we were controlling the midfield all the way through. And with the strikers up front, we just never really looked like we were under too much pressure. I think Amy had one really good save in the first half. But apart from that, we played Charltonians 10 times now, and it's never been comfortable before today, but that was a really good thorough performance.
Yeah, as you said, I think we don't know if we ever beat Charltonians over the score, you know, I don't know if we've ever scored 8 past Charltonians anyway without a reply. So it just shows the direction we're going in now as a club. You know, we're trying to move the girls forward and trying to get them to understand, and you know, game management wise as well, today was a lot better than Wednesday. You know, we managed to slow the game down when we needed to, speed it up when we needed to, and I just can't fault them all. They were all impeccable today, so it was great.
Yeah, so only a couple of games to go now, and we can only hope that maybe Merseyrail have just tripped up a little bit today, but we can only just keep doing what we've got, because it's all good practice as we keep going towards the end. We've still got 2 cup finals as well.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, it's all about form. You know, the league is the league. That's what we'll be. You know, we're not really focusing too much on other teams. We're just focused on getting our form right ahead of coming into the games that we know we can affect, which obviously are the cup final on the 28th and then the 14th of May. So we're just making sure we're in the best possible shape for them games, and what we'll be in the league, and then we'll carry on from there.
Exactly. That's what all we need to do. So that's what we can carry on doing that next Sunday.
Yeah, brilliant. Cheers,
Thanks
Neil.
Very much.
So, Luke Podmore there. Merseyrail Bootle hosting Warrington Wolverines this afternoon. Unfortunately, at time of recording, me and Paul don't know the score at that game. We don't know if the goal difference matters, but 8 goals today for FC United surely helps. Next up for FC United. Now, it's same rules apply. It doesn't matter what happened at Bootle this afternoon. Guaranteed, same rules apply. That match next Sunday here at Broadhurst Park, 2 o'clock kickoff against Curzon Ashton. It's a must win.
They're all must wins. The goal difference doesn't really come into play as far as we're concerned. We must be ahead now on goal difference, I'm pretty sure. It's all about Merseyrail slipping up.
It is. Now, we've got next week, we're going to be here for that one on Women's Team Live, as FC United, as I said, host Curzon Ashton. If you can make it, please do get down here. The women's team really do appreciate the support they get. And that'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff at Broadhurst Park. On the same day next week, Merseyrail Bootle will be hosting Altrincham Ladies. And then on the last day of the season, which is on the 30th, FC United will be travelling to Warrington Wolverines. And depending on the importance of that game, we will be covering it live here on FCUM Radio, whereas Merseyrail Bootle will be hosting Liverpool City, who are currently bottom of the league. So it's looking like the 2 wins that we need in the next 2 matches, that's a definite, and hopefully Merseyrail will slip up. But as we get towards the end of the season, it's looking increasingly unlikely that's going to happen.
I think if Merseyrail Bootle are going to slip up, the chances diminish every week, looking at the fixture list. All we can do is do our bit on the pitch and see what happens.
Well, this has been Women's Team Live here on FCUM Radio. A big thank you to Stato Paul for joining me. We'll go onwards and upwards for Luke Podmore's side. 8-0 here against Charltonians. Next up, it's Curzon Ashton next Sunday, and you'll be hearing from Women's Team Live from that match. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, you have a lovely evening. Goodbye.
Ben and Paul there from Women's Team Live from Sunday afternoon. Back to the men's team now, and on Monday afternoon, FC United travel north to take on Darlington. To find out how the Reds got on, it's back over to the FC Live team to find out.
So good afternoon to you, Ben. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How is everyone? Everyone feeling good about this game? Everyone feeling up for it? Raring to go?
Yeah.
Mid-table mediocrity, but an opportunity to really dent a promotion chase for another club. That really should put us in a mood to play some good football.
We've got a target. We can reach 11th. That's the highest we can manage.
Well,
he's worked it out.
We've sat in 11th on many occasions, quite like the 11th spot, haven't we?
That's what we can aim for.
Well, let's start then with team news.
Oh, there's a lot of come on, loads of us all together, three of us.
Now, earlier, when I say earlier, I mean on Saturday, I spoke to Carl Marderson.
Did you?
And he said he was going to ring the changes, and he has a bit really. He's thrown a few kids in again. Tom Brown starts. When was the last time Tom Brown started? Did you work this out?
Ooh, we're talking a couple of months, I think.
Yeah. Kieran Glynn makes the start, but I think that's deserved after his substitution appearance on Saturday. And we've also got Jake Williams making an entry at right back.
Yeah, I mean, there's big changes here. I would have liked to see changes happen a little bit more organically over the last few months, but we are where we are. Wright dropped to the bench, Dale Tong dropped to the bench, Thompson dropped to the bench, Nathan Lowe dropped to the bench, and Tommy Adeoli dropped to the bench as well. So it's five players there that started on Saturday that have all found themselves on the wrong side of Carl after that performance, and we have to admit it was a poor performance. Certainly better in the second half, but nowhere near the standards that FC United require. But the thing is, you see, the one thing you have to look at is we've got a losing mentality at this moment in time, it seems. You know, the team aren't performing. So by changing it, is it going to change anything? Are we going to come out with a little bit more aplomb this afternoon, a little bit more gusto, a little bit more quality? One would hope so. We saw Paul certainly on Saturday with the introduction of Kieran Glynn, that a few moments of magic. But also, there was criticism when he played against Stockport County, and that was the last real game he had properly for FC, that he wasn't chasing back and he wasn't working. But he was in the wrong position first and foremost. But we saw on Saturday, he was back defending tremendously well, doing the George Best slide tackle, winning the ball back and then taking it all the way through. So, you know,
one thing I do want to know is the changes. Is that a motivational group?
Well, he basically, the conversation we had, which is available on this because Michael, we played it earlier as well on FC Live, but you'll be able to hear it later this evening. He talks about motivation, that difficult time of the season where we've got not much to play for, apart from a cup final, and that's what his consideration is now. It's playing for places for the cup final. The problem we've got is, though, and it's something that was picked up at our time on Saturday, the balance of the team. You could have Messi playing in this team, but if the balance is wrong for the other 10 players, then it's not going to work, is it?
And I also think the Manchester Premier Cup final, with all due respect, is not a playoff final, and I don't think the motivation is quite the same.
No, I think you're right, Paul, and I also think, you know, you're right, this team, it's got a good blend to it, but the thing is, this team haven't played together for, you know, as one, as a unit. That starting lineup we've not had probably, well, all season, and it'll be interesting to, you know, see what they can do. There will be players out there this afternoon that will want to prove a point. There's no question that Tom Brown will want to prove a point, Sam Sheridan equally, and Kieran Glynn. You know, the other players have been in and out of the team. Jake Williams is back, and I think that he brings an additional bit of pace down the right-hand side, and it also then helps his other midfield players in and around him. But it's going to be an interesting afternoon, and you can see already where they're set up. They'll hold the ball, they don't want to concede, they'll give the opposition the opportunity to have a feel and enjoy themselves on this pitch. And left-hand side, they have an opportunity to get the ball into the penalty area. Again, this time, the ball comes in there first time. Oh, and it just falls for the number seven, looking for the ball to come across. It does indeed. It's saved by FC United's goalkeeper, Schofield, there. But the initial ball, when it came across, well, you thought Nathan Carman was going to make contact with that. He went straight through his legs, fell kindly at the back post, though, for Stephen Thompson. And it was a good save by FC United's Ryan Schofield. Only 17 years of age, Schofield. Again, one of the products of Huddersfield. They seem to produce some good goalkeepers. As Thompson now, two players around him, holds the ball, plays it in shooting distance for the number three. Great shot, great goal, marvellous goal, wonderful goal. Well, David Ferguson, the ball came out, and that was Nathan Lowesque. It was an absolute wonder strike from the left back. Absolute nothing FC United's Ryan Schofield could do. But well, talk about that, boys. That was
Fergie time.
That was absolutely outstanding. What a finish. As soon as he struck it, you knew exactly where he was going. And a wonderful goal on,
5 minutes.
5 minutes. And the home team take an early
Schofield
lead.
Schofield didn't have a prayer with that.
Not at all. 1-0 if you just joined us. Thanks very much, everybody. We've got, 14 minutes on the clock. 1-0, a great goal on 5 minutes. David Ferguson, who separates the team. He's on the ball now, left-hand side, charging down there. Williams comes across. Wolfenden's back there defending, but he does well. Simple ball back to Giles. Plays a 1-2. Oh, it's good football again. Cartman links up again. The ball chipped towards the back post. There's two men at the back post. Their heads across. Goal. Should be a goal. And it is a goal. And it was oh so simple. And a bit of quality. And that's what, that's the difference between a team that play has been playing week in, week out together and know where players are going to be. And it made it look so simple, but it was a well-crafted, good quality goal there. 7 or 8 passes, and again, nothing FC United's goalkeeper could do there. And 2-0 they trail on 15 minutes, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it was like you said, it was a well-constructed move. The cross came in from the left-hand side. It was nodded back across goal, and Beck was very central. He's a big man. Nods it very comfortably into the goal, and FC 2 down.
But the interplay, and the interplay, especially with David Ferguson on that left-hand side, the nice 1-2 with Cartman, getting the opportunity to put the ball in there. There was plenty of shirts waiting for that, and...
it was well constructed and the kind of thing that they look like they've done many times during the season.
Well, Bartlett clears his lines. It's won initially by Wolfenden, but then the ball's cleared and here come the home team again. Cartman's control was good. Fagbola's strong in the challenge there, but they've still got the ball with Cartman. Cartman plays a reverse ball there. Has to deal with it, Fagbola. He does deal with it really well. And then, unfortunately, it was a bit of trickery and it results in the number 9, Mark Beck, going down,
and it's a penalty.
And it was also the penalty.
26 minutes.
Not a lot he could do there. FC United's Fagbola. He defended it well initially, and he turned to get the second ball, but he caught the big number 9. And this should be an opportunity to make it 3. 2 players.
Bit of debate. Galbraith, is it?
Well, I think Galbraith has said, "Get off. That is my ball."
So the centre back has decided it's his penalty.
Referee wants everyone out the area. He steps up. Yeah. Makes it 3. Well, Matty Wolfenden there, back defending in the right back position, mops up and plays it to his goalkeeper in turn, plays out to Williams. Williams can bring the ball forward now, and we need again forward play from FC United as it's picked up by Tom Greaves. Greaves does well there and plays the ball to the penalty. Wolfenden, he leaves it for Brown. Goal. 3-1. Well, the defensive prowess and quality of the home team were very, very poor there, and they left the ball. It was good work from Tom Greaves. I don't think they thought they were going to get the ball across there, and Greaves, well, he got the ball across, and there was 2 players from FC waiting for it. It fell to Tom Brown, and Brown slotted it in from about a yard out, and it's a 3-1 free kick though to the home team. The ball chipped to the right hand side, up goes Beck again. Been a handful afternoon. Who's going to fall forward? The skipper's up there at the moment. 1-2, and he's going to make the 4th. Oh, again, 1-2, too simple. There he is. Well, for me, a man of the match performance from Gary Brown from a defensive perspective, and also there, so simple, a nice 1-2. He kept his feet well and buries the ball in the back of the net, and Darlington find themselves 4-1 up here against FC United of Manchester. As the ball now on this right-hand side, low place of ball to the penalty. It's a great ball, a great goal, and Adeoli gets a header on there. It was a wonder ball in by Lowe, and a great header by Adeoli, and 4-2, and a tremendous header. His first goal in the colours of FC United of Manchester, and he directed it tremendously well. It was a well-worked goal, and it's nothing more than, well, not even a consolation really, but it's nice to see him get him off the mark.
Yeah, let's hope it gives him a bit of confidence. But you know, we were worried at the other end there, it could have gone to 5-1, and all of a sudden it's 4-2. So
as the referee brings the game to a halt, and that will be FC United's
penultimate away defeat, you could say.
I was leaving you for that. But an all-round good performance from the home team. They had to do what they had to do. They got ahead very early with a wonder goal, and then out of reach, you would have thought, at 3-0. FC United get a consolation. The game in the second half is played with a little bit of quality from both teams. I thought, in all fairness, that the home team had a little bit more in the tank, and they could have maybe motored on a little bit more if they required to, but you know, they get that 4th goal, 4-1, it's all over, and FC United get a great goal. Adeoli linking up with a beautiful ball in from Lowe. And I say, Lowe's first contribution, really, because prior to that, he'd given the ball to the opposition every time. It's one of those games when you come on, very, very difficult. A frenetic end towards the last 2 or 3 minutes there. FC United putting pressure on the home team's goal, but... Well, Darlington are here for a reason at this moment in time, because they play good, methodical, quality football. They overlap well. They work as a unit. They have people that can score all over the pitch. We know they've scored 88 now, that? Is it 88?
86.
87.
87. Yeah.
They're all in a huddle there just discussing that game. And FC United are going to be travelling all the way back to the northwest of England, back to the Republic of Mancunia. And they're... well, there's individuals there that have done themselves favours. There's individuals there that haven't done themselves a great deal of favours in that game. But overall, I think certainly Schofield, has, from a goalkeeper perspective, has saved FC's bushes, because it could have been considerably more. And I'm surprised we didn't even consider him for the man of the match, because he has made four or five very, very good saves. And I think overall, really, to stop... I mean, we conceded four, none of his fault. I would be likelihood to give him the game, give him the man of the match.
It's a tactical man of the match, basically, to say Sam Sheridan should be starting the final three games of the season.
Well, let's hope so.
Going back to the start of the show, when we
talked... What, we're not starting again?
No, of course not.
For the love of...
going back to the start of the show, when we spoke about the starting lineup, how, you know, Maggi said he was going to ring the changes, did ring the changes, but there's always a concern that when you make that many changes, you play players who've not played together, they've not even played themselves in Tom Brown's case for ages. It's always going to be difficult, but FC United, generally through that game, have done all right. And some of the players that have come in, like Glynn, like Sheridan, like Williams, have added impetus to the attack.
They have, yeah, and what you've seen this afternoon is a team that have gone out there. You know what? I mean, I've been more entertained today than I certainly was on Saturday.
Yep.
And the game before that, before that, and the game before that. So, I mean, you know, that's one additional benefit that we have. We've seen a little more entertaining football. I mean, Brackley were excellent on, against FC United. Did exactly what they needed to do. Darlington this afternoon, again, play some good football, crisp, precise football. But FC United today, in moments, you know, if that team, let's say, had 15 games together of that unit,
they'd be
a lot better. Yeah, you know, there are other changes to have. I mean, there was no Gilchrist at all today, not even featured on the bench. You know, there's Cedric Crewe, but I mean, at this stage of the season, I don't know whether we'll see him at all. There's also the younger players. Whether Carl now looks at that and says, right, okay, well, last three games, let's stick in all the younger players, give them an opportunity.
Well, we said that at Halifax when he put the young players in. That's the team he should have just carried on with to end the season. See it gel. Obviously, your opposition aren't going to be as difficult as Halifax were.
That's for you to ask him the questions.
Oh, no, I have asked him kind of those questions in a roundabout way.
But no, I mean, listen, there is, you know, there's an afternoon of football, of fun. We're not going up, we're not going down. We're FC United. We don't.
I think there were some good, like you were saying, there were good some good pointers today for the rest of the season and maybe for part of next season. I also feel that FC came into the game twice when Darlington took the foot off the gas.
Yes.
Oh yeah. To be fair,
that was the same against Brackley last week. The teams higher up, they have that capability, don't they?
To step up and go down the gears.
What they're doing, they're giving themselves breathing space. They know games are coming thick and fast. They've had two games in a matter of 48 hours. For want of a better word, against lesser opposition, they know they can take the foot off the gas to a certain degree. They know if that was against Halifax today, that's a 90 minutes of furious quality and pace in the game. Against a team that have got nothing to play for, I think they always thought throughout that game they could score goals. It proved that they scored four, but they could have scored maybe three or four, five more even. Some good saves from FC United's Schofield. But teams like that, they do that, don't they? They do enough to win a game of football. We're saying that 4-2, they've done enough, but they were convincing for large parts. But there are some things that I know that we've been happy with today, that we've watched and enjoyed in comparison to previous games. And it will be interesting to see now. Next week, we're playing...
Nuneaton
away.
Away. So, you know, it's a... It's an opportunity again, maybe to stick with that same team. I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to.
I would like to see the players that shone today given another chance next Saturday.
Yeah, I think maybe with a little bit more pace. I mean, you know, again, it depends how you set up your team. I mean, you know, players get isolated on occasions, and certainly Tom Greaves is that kind of player. If he's played a lone role by himself, he needs the support of the width and the ball players getting the ball into him. Gilchrist, you know, you could play him up alongside him, maybe you could stick with that team.
Adeoye, though, he adds something, doesn't he?
Well, of course he does, yeah. And it was an absolutely tremendous finish. It was a great header, but the ball was world class. and all he has to do is get his head on it, and he's flicked it across. He's used the pace of the ball, he's flicked it across, and it's a great, great goal. But we'll have to see. I mean, you know, it's totally down to Carl and the management what they're going to do with the rest of the season.
So, thank you for joining us, Carl, after that one. What's your views after that? It was quite an interesting game, I thought.
Yeah, I think after half an hour and we're 3-0 down, I'm thinking, how's that happened? You know, obviously, first goal's a great strike. Second goal, we've got to defend better. And then, obviously, third one, probably the first mistake Jordan's made in... since he's been here, you know, so and that was a penalty, but I thought it would have been dead easy, especially with the way that things are going with that end of season feel, would have been dead easy for the lads' heads to drop, and it could have been a real whooping, whereas, you know, they've kept going. I thought we created a number of chances in the first half, managed to take one, and then the second half it was a bit of a dead rubber, really. I think we controlled play, but then, you know, we've conceded from it was a free kick, and, you know, Cashier admit to himself that he probably should have stood up rather than, you know, because the ball had gone. I think we had we gained possession of the ball, so yeah, and again goes to 4-1, and we still keep going. And, you know, I thought the second goal we've scored is
cracking cross and cracking header.
Absolutely different class. That started with a bit of possession, probably down there, you know, near the edge of our box, where Scott Kay, usual assured self, has played us out of trouble, and we worked it up the pitch nicely. And yeah, great ball in from Nathan, and a good header from Tommy. So hopefully that'll be a bit of a kick on for him.
Now, you said after Saturday's match against Brackley, you're going to ring the changes. I thought Glyn, we gave him out of the match to Sheridan, driving from midfield. Very impressive from both of them, I thought.
Yeah, that was the idea. The idea was trying to get Kieran on the ball, because he's, you know, he travels really well with it, and you know, I thought we did that in patches. Definitely in the first half, he could have scored. Great save from the goalkeeper. And so we rang the changes, and I must say that, well, as I said to him there, that was 100 times better than Saturday for me. You know, we had chances, we had shots, we were getting crosses in, and all the things that, as me as the manager and our supporters, want to see.
Now, one of the things we picked up upon is just that, you know, we asked you, Curzon, do you know who your best 11 is yet? And you said no. You have been chopping and changing a lot. Is there now an aim from you and the coaching staff to try and get a settled team going towards that May final?
Yeah, I think so. But you know, that's down to the players as well. Like, they're the ones who, no manager is going to take a player who's playing well out of the team. So that's something that they need to be mindful of. You know, we'll select the teams based on performances. And like I say, the last couple of weeks has been a bit not really what I want to see, whereas today was a lot better. You know, it sounds weird, but, you know, I'm not quite pleased with a 4-2 loss, but
the
way we played, I'll take that. You know, Darlington are a good side, they would be getting in the playoffs if the ground was right. So we knew it'd be a tricky task, and lots of positives to take from today.
Well, thanks to Jones, Carl. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
FC live there from Monday afternoon. FC return to action this coming Saturday as FC United travel south for their penultimate league game of the season, as FC take on Nuneaton Town. The address for the ground is Liberty Way, Warwickshire, CV116RR. That's Liberty Way, CV116RR. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m, but remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk, and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.